Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps says five of its military advisors have been assassinated in an Israeli terror attack in the Syrian capital, Damascus. Iran says it reserves the right to respond to Israel's organized terrorism, which comes in line with Daesh and other Takfiri groups in the region. And Iraq's Islamic Resistance targets the U.S.-run Ain al-Assad base in the latest retaliation for the American-Israeli genocide in Gaza. This is News. Thanks for joining us. Israel carries out another terror attack in the Syrian capital, Damascus, assassinating a number of people, including five Iranian military advisors. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, in a statement, said five of its members, along with a number of Syrian forces, were martyred in the regime's airstrike on Damascus. The attack targeted a three-story residential building in the city's Mezzeh neighborhood, which houses several diplomatic missions. Israel repeatedly targets Syria, killing Syrian civilians, military officers, as well as Iranian military personnel who are on an advisory mission at the invitation of the Syrian government. The latest Israel strike came just days after the IRGC targeted a base of Israel's spy agency, the Mossad, in Iraq's Kurdistan region over its anti-Iran terror plots. Iran has already warned that the Israeli regime will pay a heavy price for its criminal acts. Our correspondent in Damascus, Ibrahim Wahdi, tells us more about the latest Israeli terrorist attack that led to the martyrdom of several Iranian military advisors.
The Syrian Ministry of Defense issued a statement lately saying that at 10:20 a.m. this morning, the Israeli enemy carried out an air aggression from the direction of occupied Syrian Golan, targeting a residential building in Mezzeh neighborhood. The building was completely destroyed. The explosion caused also material damage to the neighboring buildings. The neighborhood itself has several diplomatic missions. As I said before, the Japanese ambassador is living there, like two buildings away from that building. The South Africa embassy, the Venezuelan embassy as well, and other embassies. According to the statement of the Syrian Ministry of Defense, the Israeli army launched several missiles. The Syrian air defenses intercepted the missiles. Most of us were at home. We've heard the explosions in the sky. So some of these missiles were shot down.
Reactions are pouring in following an Israeli airstrike in Syria that led to the martyrdom of several people. The Iranian Foreign Ministry strongly condemned the attack, saying the assault was a clear violation of Syria's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani said Iranian advisors in Syria have a leading role in the fight against terrorism and provide peace and stability in the region. Kanani said Tehran reserves its right to respond to what he called Israel's organized crimes. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas also slammed the terrorist act, saying such actions by the Zionist regime will never stop the resistance movements from continuing to support the Palestinians. The Palestinian Islamic Jihad strongly condemned the attack, saying the assault was part of Israel's efforts to make up for its defeat. It also said the regime is seeking to expand the Gaza onslaught to the entire region. Political commentator Ali Risk says the Israeli attack in Syria shows that the regime is seeking to further escalate the ongoing situation as Israeli officials talk of the third phase of its Gaza onslaught.
Israelis appear intent on escalating the situation further. I think Netanyahu in particular, and I think it's important to note as well that when they talk about the third phase, the Israelis, the Americans and the Israelis, but the Israelis in particular, I think that what the Israelis have in mind for the third phase doesn't only include withdrawing or low-intensity conflict in Gaza, but at the same time, that includes further escalation beyond that particular front to hit other areas and to escalate in other areas. And I believe that there was an assassination just after this operation targeting some Palestinian officials, if I'm not mistaken, in South Lebanon. So there appears to be, as I said, an Israeli plan to escalate more broadly in the so-called third phase.
106 days into the Israeli war on the Gaza Strip, the regime continues with its carpet bombing campaign across the besieged Palestinian territory. The Gaza Health Ministry says 165 Palestinians have been killed and 280 others wounded in the past 24 hours. The overall death toll from the regime's war has risen to nearly 25,000. More than 62,000 others have been wounded, and thousands are still under the rubble of their homes. Israel keeps bombing residential buildings and refugee camps in areas it had said that it would be safe. Hospitals are overwhelmed across the besieged territory, with people literally waiting on the floor for medical staff to intervene and save them. Deadly raids are being conducted while the coastal territory is under a near-total communications blackout imposed by Tel Aviv. People around the world have held rallies to express solidarity with the Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip. People in the Italian city of Rome are no exception, with ralliers calling for an immediate end to the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza. Max Gibbley is a correspondent standing by who's joining us now to tell us more about the rallies of where he is at. Well, Max, I see you there on the scene. Tell us what you're witnessing and what are people saying?
Well, hi, everybody. I'm in Vicenza, which is in the northeast of Italy. It's a small town of about 60,000 inhabitants. And people from Vicenza, from the nearby city of Padua, from Turin, and from other Italian towns and villages have gathered here to call for an end of the Israeli genocide in Gaza, and calling for the Italian government to finally stop supporting Tel Aviv. I'd say about 10,000 people, maybe more than that, are here. The rally started about a couple of hours ago. Many banners and placards reading from Palestine to Yemen, we are with the resistance. And reading also boycott Israel. Yesterday, here in Vicenza, an international gold and jewelry industry fair kicked off. It's a prestigious event, which has been going on for about 70 years. But people at the rally are saying, let's boycott the fair because it hosts a pavilion which has been occupied by Israeli retailers. And they're saying that the diamond market is a main source of funding of the Israeli military. They're saying that bloodstained diamonds have bankrolled the massacre of more than 24,000 Palestinians, mostly women and children. So they are all calling for a boycott of the initiative. This morning there's been heavy clashes between those who oppose the fair and the Italian police. There's been arrests, there's been people wounded. And I'd say that Vicenza is really standing with the Palestinians.
When you take a look at the way that the people are coming out supporting the Palestinians, are they shocked at the fact that the government is not having a louder voice, at least when it comes to the genocide that's taking place, in order to try to do something to prevent it, even if it means making statements?
Absolutely, absolutely. They were all particularly against the media. They say that the media are not portraying the conflict as it is. They are not telling the truth. And so the international community is not taking a clear position because of the media. And they're talking about the media being accomplices of Israel. The people, they are now attending a speech from representatives of the Palestinian community, and they're saying exactly that the media are playing a major role in misleading the international public opinion on the Israeli onslaught in Gaza.
All right, thank you very much for that. We do appreciate it. That's our correspondent, Max Civilli, there talking to us from Italy. Thank you. An appalling video has been released shows the aftermath of a summary execution of 15 Palestinian men in Gaza by Israeli soldiers. The horrific event took place on December 19, when Israeli soldiers raided a building in Gaza City. According to eyewitness accounts, the Israeli soldiers shot 15 Palestinian men in the back after stripping and torturing them and forcing them to lay front down on the ground. The atrocity took place before the eyes of female members of the family, who say that the incident has left a permanent scar on their minds. The Israeli army subsequently shelled the building that killed a three-year-old girl. Israeli savagery in Gaza has continued unabated for more than 3 months, with full support of Western governments, especially the U.S. An outraged Israeli mother has accused the Israeli army of deliberately gassing her son to death while he was being held in a tunnel in Gaza. The mother of Ron Sherman, one of the soldiers held captive by Hamas, said that her son was killed in a premeditated murder by the army. She slammed the cabinet of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, as well as Israeli military officials. Her son's body, alongside two other soldiers, was recovered from a tunnel in Gaza in December. The killing follows a pattern of Israeli military attacks on captives in Gaza that has so far led to the death of dozens of them. Iraq's Islamic Resistance says it has launched a barrage of missiles at the U.S.-run Ain al-Assad base in western Iraq. There have been no immediate reports of casualties. Over the past months, Iraqi resistance forces have carried out attacks on American bases, both in Iraq and in neighboring Syria, on an almost daily basis. The Pentagon says its bases in Iraq and Syria have been attacked around 140 times since October 7. Iraq's Islamic Resistance says the attacks are in response to Washington's support for the Israeli regime amid the Gaza genocide. An Israeli drone strike in southern Lebanon has left 4 people dead. One of the victims was a member of Hezbollah resistance movement. The strike targeted a car near the city of Tyre. The Israeli drone attack came amid strikes by fighters from Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah against Israeli military positions in response to the ongoing Israeli genocidal campaign in the besieged Gaza Strip. Mariam Saleh is a correspondent joining us from Beirut to tell us more about this incident. Well, Mariam, I think some of the facts are clear now. Tell us what you have.
Yes, it is clear now that those who were martyred in this attack specifically are Lebanese. We do have an official statement from Hezbollah saying that Ali Hudruj has passed away, and he was one of the members of Hezbollah. He actually just recently debated his thesis and his PhD, and so this is a very someone who was well known in his town, in his hometown in Bezuri, which is where the attack took place. And he was, of course, it was basically a shock for many people. He is someone who is more civilian than he is military, but he is still a member of Hezbollah. We are also expecting another statement soon to be issued by Hezbollah. There are several names. There is, for example, Mohammed Diab, who is one of also the members of Hezbollah, who was also most probably with him in this attack. The other names are still not clear. Of course, we cannot really say the names until Hezbollah really verifies and does give an official statement so we know who the martyr is. Yes, as we know, we do know that the one of the citizens and the natives of the town of Bezuri has been killed in this attack. Of course, this is not the first martyr for Hezbollah, and Hezbollah always considers that they declare all their martyrs when they consider this part of the honor of the fight on the path of Al-Quds, as they call it. Of course, this comes also at a time when Hezbollah has continued with its resistance operations. And we can see today that the operations, all of them, if not all, most of them have been those of targeting soldiers. We have, it seems, surpassed the phase when they're only targeting posts or devices. Here now we're talking about the fact that it seems to be now a confrontation when Hezbollah targets soldiers directly and the Israelis are targeting members of the resistance and even civilians in some cases, even if they were with the members of Hezbollah in South Lebanon. But we do know that Hezbollah even in one instance, for example, used rockets directly at soldiers in near the barracks of Hunin, but we also have in Zar'id and Dhaira, where Hezbollah said it in statements that they targeted soldiers, and so therefore there could there's definitely high number of losses and casualties among the Israelis as well. The Israeli shelling, of course, it has not today has not stopped at all. We have a huge number of shelling and examples. We have from tanks, for example, that continue to target the area of Majidiyeh, which is also a place which is not usually being targeted. But the town of Adaisi specifically has been heavily bombarded today. It seems that on a daily basis, the Israelis choose one of the towns and basically start bombarding it very heavily, more than other towns. But of course, like Kfar Kela, like Khiyam, and also Aitarun and Hula, they're always the ones that are mostly on the edges and very close to the border. They're always targeted. We also had targeting of Aita and Yarin. We heard today from also from the Israeli media that there were sirens that were sounding in several places in the Galilee, and the sounds of rockets from the Iron Dome. Sometimes the sirens sound because of the Iron Dome, whether it is because there were rockets fired from South Lebanon or perhaps other issues that are being used either by the resistance and the other resistance factions in order to basically turn on the Iron Dome. And that is basically also costing the Israelis more money, in addition to the fact that it's creating that that atmosphere of terror where the sirens are always sounding throughout the Galilee as a whole. We heard from Hezbollah officials today, of course, always stress that they are ready for any war that is being launched. We heard from head of the Loyalty of the Resistance parliamentary bloc, head of the bloc, actually, Mr. Mohammad Raad. He said that the Israelis are not ready to launch a war, which the resistance in Lebanon has prepared for. And we also heard from Sheikh Naim Qasim as well, stressing that it is based on the U.S. red blue, green light, if we may say, that is allowing the Israelis to continue with the war in Gaza. It seems that they don't have that green light yet in Lebanon to go for a wider escalation. But what we're looking at is definitely an escalation when it comes to how they are targeting people in South Lebanon, while the resistance has maintained the fact that it is only directing its strikes against military targets in the Galilee.
Thank you for that. Mariam Saleh there from Beirut. Appreciate it. And that is it for World News. Bye-bye for now.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
The United States has provided unconditional support for the Zionist regime's military offensive in Gaza and has blocked efforts towards a ceasefire, which agencies say is urgently needed to deliver enough aid to stave off a humanitarian catastrophe. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, for the fourth consecutive day on Tuesday, January 17th, Gaza was experiencing its seventh and longest telecommunications blackout in 3 months after two workers on a mission to repair damaged lines were killed in Khan Yunis recently. According to the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, the blackout of telecommunications deprives people in Gaza from accessing life-saving information, preventing people from calling for first responders, and impedes other forms of humanitarian response. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza reported that some 260 Palestinians were killed between the afternoons of 12th and 14th of January. Nearly 24,000 people have been killed in Gaza since October 7th, almost half of them children. Recently, 20 people were killed on a strike on a home in the Sabra neighborhood of Gaza City. Six people were reported killed in a strike on a home in Zaytun neighborhood east of Gaza City that same day, and four were killed in a strike in Al Boraji refugee camp in central Gaza. Another 12 people were killed when a house was hit in southern Gaza, OCHA said. Three Palestinian human rights groups, including Al-Haq, Al-Mizan, and the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, said that the Israeli military is killing an average of 250 Palestinians per day in Gaza, a higher daily death rate than any other 21st century armed conflict. Thousands more people remain buried under rubble, whether dead or alive, some enduring this situation for days or even weeks, the rights groups added. The group said hundreds of bodies are in a state of decay, deprived of the right to a dignified burial, as Israel continues to deny medical and rescue teams access to areas where its troops and soldiers are deployed. More than 60,300 Palestinians in Gaza have been wounded since October 7th. Save the Children said that around 1,000 children in Gaza have lost one or both of their legs, many having them amputated without anesthetic, and will require a lifetime of medical care. One in every 100 people in Gaza have been killed and entire neighborhoods have been destroyed. The Palestinian Health Ministry says that 4% of Gaza's population has been killed, wounded, or is missing under the rubble of destroyed buildings. Those killed include 117 journalists and media workers, 337 medics, 45 members of the Palestinian Civil Defense, and nearly 150 UN employees. Nearly 85% of Gaza's population of 2.3 million have been forced to leave their homes and are displaced within the territory. Recently, Martin Griffiths, the UN humanitarian relief chief, said that he was deeply alarmed by recent statements by Israeli ministers regarding plans to encourage the mass transfer of civilians from Gaza to third countries, currently being referred to as voluntary relocation. He added that such statements raise grave concerns about the possible forcible mass transfer or deportation of the Palestinian population from the Gaza Strip, something that would be strictly prohibited under international law. Griffith said that any attempt to change the demographic composition of Gaza must be firmly rejected and urged the UN Security Council to take urgent action to bring this war to an end. The UK-based charity Medical Aid for Palestinians warned that if the current catastrophic situation in Gaza continues for another 100 days, the unprecedented number of people killed by Israel's bombardment and bullets will soon be dwarfed by those dying from hunger and disease because of Israel's siege. Humanitarian agencies are still unable to reach northern Gaza, where hundreds of thousands of people remain and haven't received aid for more than 50 days. Only 15 out of Gaza's 36 hospitals are partially functional, with three facilities, Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital, Nasser Medical Complex, and Gaza European Hospital, at risk of closure after the Zionist regime issued evacuation orders in adjacent areas. Nasser Medical Complex in Khan Yunis is treating 700 patients, double its normal capacity, and thousands of people are sheltering on its grounds. The vicinity of the hospital was struck, reportedly killing 8 people and injuring scores of others, according to UNOCHA. The World Health Organization delivered fuel and medical supplies to Ashifa Hospital in Gaza City on January 12. Gaza's largest referral hospital before the war, Ashifa has re-established some medical services after being besieged by the Zionist regime forces in November. Patients are undergoing avoidable amputations due to the destruction of Gaza's health system. Tedros Adhanom, the director general of the World Health Organization, said recently that people with serious chronic conditions are dying due to the lack of care. Diseases are spreading among a population forced to crowd into ever smaller spaces with little clean water or access to sanitation. The UN Health Chief Adhanom and the directors of the World Food Programme and the UN Children's Fund UNICEF said in a joint statement that a fundamental step change in the flow of humanitarian aid into Gaza is urgently needed as famine and outbreaks of deadly disease loom. We can keep famine at bay, but only if we can deliver sufficient supplies and have safe access to everyone in need, wherever they are, said World Food Programme Director Cindy McCain, who was tapped for her position by U.S. President Joe Biden after she broke Republican ranks and supported his presidential campaign. Biden has provided unconditional support for the child killer regime of Israel and its military offensive in Gaza, and has blocked efforts towards a ceasefire, which agencies say is urgently needed to deliver enough aid to stave off a humanitarian catastrophe. The heads of the UN agency said that Israeli authorization to use a working port close to the Gaza Strip and border crossing points into the north is critically needed by aid agencies. Philip Lazzarini, the director of the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, said that the crisis in Gaza is a man-made disaster compounded by dehumanizing language and the use of food, water, and fuel as instruments of war. Jordan's foreign minister said recently that the Zionist regime was violating a UN Security Council resolution adopted in December, calling for unhindered humanitarian access in all areas of Gaza. We'll be right back.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And the overall subject that we are discussing is that of Shaitan. Shaitan has been talked about so much. It's almost like this boogeyman that we scare our children with, that Shaitan will come. You know, and we take that for granted and we don't realize the power of Shaitan. But if we look at the Quran, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mix up His description of the dangers of Shaitan. And He talks about it similar ways in many verses. For example, He says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 208, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kafatan. He says, O you who believe, submit to Allah completely and perfectly. Yeah? And you submit to Him. Yani don't be partial in your submission. Don't pick and choose what you submit to. Why? Because if you do, something will happen. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And do not follow in satanic footsteps. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. He is your manifest enemy. Yeah? And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes in the Quran. And the reason we have to be on guard at all times is because Shaitan uses different stratagems, different ways of attacking us, right? And this is something that, again, he mentions very clearly in the Holy Quran. You know, Shaitan, when he has conversations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, naturally, when we refer to this being as Shaitan, it's a capital S. Right? It's a proper noun. This is Iblis. And so we talked about the difference between Shayateen and Iblis, but Iblis is a Shaitan. And so when we look at his own admission to the relentless nature with which he will come after us, Allah says in Surah Al-A'raf, what the words of Shaitan himself in verse number 17, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ. He says, I will come after them from in front of them, وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ, and from behind them, وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شِمَالِهِمْ, and from their right side and from their left side. وَلَا تَجِدُوا أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And you will not find many of them grateful. This is a clear declaration, right, from Shaitan, that I will attack them from the front, the back, and the sides. And at all times, I will constantly be attacking them. And this is something that, again, I emphasize without feeling shy of repetition. We cannot take these words lightly. Right? We cannot take these stratagems lightly. And when you look at the tafsir of this, our fifth Imam Al-Baqir, alayhi afdalu salatu wassalam, salli ala Nadim wa Ali Muhammad, he describes what does it mean when Shaitan says he will attack from all sides. He says, when he says that he will attack us from the front, ma'anahu uhawwinu alayhim amrul akhirah. That what that means is that he will make the hereafter seem unimportant to people. Right? So one of the tricks that Shaitan will use is he will say, you know what, akhirah, so far away. Right? Why are you so worried about akhirah? Focus on dunya. Make your dunya better. And that's one of the tricks of Shaitan. And then, وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ, and from behind him, أَمُرُهُمْ بِجَمْعِ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْبُخْلِ بِهَا عَنِ الْحُقُوقِ. He says, and from behind him means that Shaitan will command you and will make you passionate in gathering wealth and to be stingy in fulfilling the rights that you have to fulfill. And so you will chase things. Right? We will chase things not with the desire of using those things to benefit others, but to chase things for my own benefit, right? With that understanding, لِتَبْقَى لِوَرَثَتِهِمْ SubhanAllah, right? So that the heirs will have more. So I do these things, for my kids I'm doing these things, right? SubhanAllah, right? The Imam says that's what shaitan does. That's how he tricks us, right? So instead of maybe paying a little bit more here in charity, I will say, no, let's just save that for our kids. How about your kids will have a degree better than yours? Yeah? They'll have a job better than yours, inshallah, right? But this is how, again, the stratagems of shaitan. And then, وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ From the right side, أُفْسِدُوا عَلَيْهِمْ أَمْرَ دِينِهِمْ بِتَزْيِينِ الضَّلَالَ وَتَحْسِينِ الشُّبْهَ He says, and he will destroy their religion by beautifying dalal, deviation. Yeah? Things which are haram will become normal. Not only will they become normal, they will seem attractive, right? Things that we desire. And again, the way the world works, and we'll focus a lot of this in the last two lectures about the specific tricks that shaitan uses, and this comes within them. And glorifying wa tahsinu shubha, and will glorify doubts. Right? Again, subhanAllah, this is another trick of shaitan, right? To make us think, well, it's a gray area. Well, this is allowed, but we can find a loophole to get through it, right? Loopholes, surprisingly, subhanAllah, how many emails I get to find them loopholes, you know? But again, this is what shaitan wants. Shaitan wants us to just belittle the religion so that we can find a way to do what we want to do. And then, وَعَنْ شَمَالِهِمْ And from behind, بِتَحْبِيبِ اللَّذَّاتِ إِلَيْهِمْ وَتَغْلِيبِ الشَّهَوَاتِ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ By making them fall in love with the pleasures of this world, right? And having desires conquer their hearts. You know, if you look at these descriptions, like we're drowning in them, right? Like we're literally drowning in them. The chase of these things, the running after these things, whether it's the desire for... It never stops, right? The desire for good grades, and good grades to good university to good job to great job to a house, to a spouse, to now kids. And now what we're doing is constantly, right? Constantly. And it doesn't even stop after we have acquired, because now to upkeep what I have acquired takes that much energy, right? And so what you find is that, alhamdulillah, I'm able to buy a house. I'm able to buy a car. But man, I have to work really hard to pay the mortgage bill, right? I have to work really hard to pay that car payment. I have to work really hard to live that lifestyle that I have. And in that process, this is life. Don't even get it confused. It is life, right? But in that process of life, the moment that that life prevents me from preparing for my akhirah, that's when shaitan has won. Right? And it's not that I necessarily sacrifice my akhirah. What you find sometimes is that we just pause the pursuit for akhirah. Right? So I have to do these things. And in that process, I know I have to pray Salatul Layl. I've heard about the merits of Salatul Layl, but one day I'll pray Salatul Layl. Right? One day I'll do these fasts. One day I'll do all of these things. One day I'll go for Hajj. One day I'll go... He just keeps getting pushed off and pushed off and pushed off. And subhanAllah, you know, we may blame many things for this. Right? We may blame dunya, we blame desires, we blame society, we blame friends. We're good at blaming the West, right? All these things, dunya, friends, West, society, they're just the stratagems of shaitan. Yeah, these are the tools of shaitan. Right? And this is what shaitan uses to try to just make us confused. You know, if shaitan can succeed in pausing our pursuit of God, shaitan has won. He doesn't need to make us go in another path. But just the pause to say, you know what, I'll do this later. Right? I will figure it out later. I will read this book later. I will think about this later. I will pray this later. I will do that later. Just that pause, and shaitan has won, right? And that's the strategy that shaitan tries to use.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Hakimun Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio. The Biden administration has done nothing to pressure, let alone force, the Zionist regime to adhere to the most basic humanitarian laws in its ongoing genocide in Gaza. Worse, President Biden is furnishing Israel with the needed tools to prolong this destructive war. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, American officials should know this well, as they continue to support the Zionist regime with billions of dollars of military and economic aid, and anything and everything that would allow the Zionist regime to continue with its genocide of the Palestinians in Gaza. The Arabs, the Muslims, in fact, the whole world, are watching, listening, reading, and are getting angrier by the day at the direct American role in facilitating the Gaza bloodbath. The Zionist regime's military campaign in Gaza has wreaked more destruction than the razing of Syria's Aleppo between 2012 and 2016, or the Allied bombing of Germany in the Second World War, and now sits among the deadliest and most destructive in recent history. The Associated Press reported based on recent satellite data analysis. Aside from the tens of thousands of dead and missing in the rubble, even a higher number of people have been injured and maimed, including thousands of children. Countless children are left grappling with the loss of an arm or a leg, according to UNICEF. This agony of Gaza is being watched on television and is also being viewed through every possible medium of communication. It is as if the world is suffering along with the Gaza children, but without being able to stop or slow down the genocide. And yet, even when all European countries, save a few, reverse their position on the war, joining the rest of the world in demanding an immediate and comprehensive ceasefire, Washington continued to reject these calls. This is how U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas Greenfield, justified her country's use of the veto, striking down the first serious attempt by the U.N. Security Council to achieve a permanent truce on October 18th, saying, "Israel has the inherent right of self-defense as reflected in Article 51 of the UN Charter." That same logic has been repeated many times by US officials since then, even when the extent of the Gaza tragedy became known to everyone, including the Americans themselves. This self-serving logic goes against the very spirit of international and humanitarian law, which vehemently rejects the targeting of civilians during times of war and conflict, and the prevention of humanitarian aid from reaching civilian victims of war. Indeed, the vast majority of Gaza's victims are civilians, and according to UNICEF, over 70% of all those killed and wounded are women and children. Moreover, due to the inhumane Israeli regime practices, Gaza survivors are now dealing with an actual famine, an unprecedented event in the modern history of Palestine. Yet, the Zionist regime continues to prevent the access to food, medicine, fuel, and other urgent supplies to Gaza, thus violating Washington's own laws on the matter. The U.S. Foreign Assistance Act, Section 620I, says, "No assistance shall be furnished to any country when it is made known to the president that the government of such country prohibits or otherwise restricts, directly or indirectly, the transport or delivery of U.S. humanitarian assistance." The Biden administration has done nothing to pressure, let alone force, the Zionist regime to adhere to the most basic humanitarian laws in its ongoing genocide in Gaza. Worse, President Biden is furnishing the Zionist regime with the needed tools to prolong this destructive war. According to a December 25th report by the Zionist regime's Channel 12, more than 20 ships and 244 U.S. airplanes have delivered over 10,000 tons of armaments and military equipment to Israel since the start of the war. These military supplies include, according to the Wall Street Journal, at least 100 BLU-109, 2,000-pound bunker buster bombs, which have been repeatedly used throughout the Israeli regime's war, killing and wounding hundreds each time. The United States, however, seems to have learned nothing from the past, from its devastating wars on Iraq, from the so-called War on Terror, from its failure to find a balance between its support for Israel and its respect for Palestinians, Arabs, and Muslims. To the contrary, some U.S. officials seem to be entirely detached from this reality. At a press conference at the White House on December 7th, U.S. National Security Council Coordinator for Strategic Communications John Kirby proclaimed, "Tell me, name me, one more nation, any other nation, that is doing as much as the United States to alleviate the pain and suffering of the people of Gaza. You can't. You just can't. But how are dumb bombs, smart bombs, bunker busters, and tens of thousands of tons of explosives alleviating the pain and suffering of Gaza and her children?" If Kirby is unaware of his country's role in the genocide in Gaza, then the crisis in American foreign policy is worse than we could have imagined. If he's aware, and he should be, then his country's moral crisis is arguably unprecedented in modern history. The problem in U.S. politics is that American administrations have a segmented view of reality as they are intently focused on how their action or inaction is going to affect their political parties in future elections. But Americans who care about their country and its position in a vastly challenging West Asia region and rapidly shifting global geopolitics should remember that history neither starts nor finishes on a fixed November date once every 4 years.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with a large number of women from across the country. The meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on December 27, 2023, a week before the birth anniversary of Lady Fatima al-Zahra, peace be upon her. This day is celebrated as Women's Day in Iran. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. All praise is due to God, Lord of the worlds, and peace and greetings be upon our Master Muhammad and his untainted, pure, chosen progeny, particularly the remnant of God on earth. A warm welcome to all the dear women here, my sisters, daughters, and children. You are all our children. And you are the builders of tomorrow's Iran and tomorrow's world. This meeting has been so profound and useful up until this moment. I would like to express my appreciation to all those who have taken part in the program. I would like to thank the girls who sang an anthem here today. Both the anthem, that is, the content of the anthem, and the melody were good, and their performance was very good. I would like to thank our honorable reciter of the Quran. I would also like to thank the honorable, eloquent announcer. I would like to extend my sincere gratitude to the wives of the martyrs, the mothers of the martyrs, and the children of the martyrs who are present in this gathering. I feel a great deal of esteem for all of them.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
I would like to thank Mrs. Zagzaki for speaking here today. She is the mother of 6 martyrs. 3 of her sons were martyred in one tragic event, and her other 3 sons were martyred in another tragic event. This woman has been as patient as a mountain, and she endured many hardships and imprisonment for a long period of time. I would like to thank the Palestinian woman whose video we watched here today. Asra Al-Buhaisi, a reporter for Al-Alam, sent a video of herself reporting from Gaza. I ask those who are working in this area to express our appreciation and greetings to her, and to tell her that I always pray for them, the Palestinians, every single night. The issues that were raised here were very good. I mean, if I don't say anything now, and we just benefit from what these women said here, this meeting will still have been useful.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.